Father in heaven, we do come before you and we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for not only this commandment designed as a way of expressing our thankfulness to you for redemption, but also we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the truth, you spoke the truth, and you apply the truth to our lives, and we pray that you do so today. We pray that you would enable us to be identified with you as children of truth, as people who speak the truth in love. Grant unto us repentance, grant unto us faith, grant unto us the ability to rejoice in what Jesus, the truth, has done and said. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, how would you describe the society we live in? A train wreck. Deceived. Good. Chuck Colson said that we live in a post-truth society. Isn't that an interesting statement? We live in a post-truth society. We live in a post-monistic society where truth is personal truth. I have my truth, you have your truth. There is no absolute truth. Truth is what you make it to be. Truth is a construct created by man. That's the society we live in. An example of that? Oh, I can give you many examples of that, can we not? Some people refer to fake news. But there's so much out there that is fake, that is not the truth. The bottom line in our society today is there is absolutely no absolute truth but my truth. That is absolute. Can you see the contradiction to that statement? If there is absolutely no truth, then your truth is absolutely not true. Our passage today speaks of speaking the truth. But it says it in a negative way. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Bearing false witness, if you were to summarize that in a three-letter word, what would it be? Sin. Oh, I like that one. Lie. Why? I'm going to make this personal. Why do you lie? Oh, I never lie. Well, you just do. Why does some? Okay, let's go general. Why does someone lie? Why does someone lie? Either to get something or to avoid getting something or both. Why do you lie? Well, most of the time we think you lie to get out from getting something. To avoid getting something. But sometimes we lie in order to get something. As I thought about lying, I realized that lying is magic. You ever thought of it that way? What is magic? Magic uses words to create things. At least that's the concept. What is lying? Lying is using words to create a false reality. What happens to someone who habitually lies? There's a danger where they begin to enter into the false reality that they create. And it becomes reality to them, and they cannot be convinced otherwise. I had a friend when I was growing up in high school who lied all the time. And we got into arguments because he would recall an event that I was there at, and he had one concept of what happened and the reality was different, and we got into an argument because reality to him was what he made up. Lying is using words to create a false reality. In many ways, we live in a society of lies. Lying seems to be normal. Why? Because I can get something from it or I can avoid something. Keep that in mind as we consider this commandment. The main point of the sermon, words give structure and meaning to life. They have power that can be used for good or for evil. For death and life are in the power of the tongue, Proverbs says. With this God-given gift of speech, you have the power to kill and destroy or to bring edification and healing. How will you exercise this God-giving resource? You've been given a tool. You've been given a blessing. There's a difference between you and the animals. You have the ability to speak, to think, and so on. How will you use this gift? The context of the Ten Commandments, as we have considered, is that of redemption accomplished and applied. Israel was redeemed out of Egypt, and now God is taking Egypt out of Israel. He's sanctifying them. He's making them more like Jesus. He's creating a God-centered community. And one of those ways of doing that is a God-centered community is a community that exalts truth, because God is truth. The first four commandments focus on our relationship with God. The next four that we looked at is our relationship with one another. And what is it that binds us together as the people of God? I would say in a word, it is truth. Truth binds us together. Absolute God-given truth. We have it. We don't have to listen to the world that says there is no truth. Because, in a sense, they're right. For them, there is no truth because there is no Jesus. For us, we have the truth, Jesus says. So let's look at three different aspects of speaking the truth, or the truth that sets you free, as the title is. Words reveal a person's character. Or another way of saying it, words reflect the innermost thoughts and being of a person. What you say reflects what you're thinking, where you're at. It reveals your heart, reveals your thoughts. Jesus said, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart and defile a man." Jesus was speaking about eating things, unclean things, with his disciples, with the Jews. And he says, what you eat doesn't defile you. What comes out of your mouth, what comes out of your heart, is what defiles you. These are what defiles a man. That is found in Matthew chapter 15, beginning in verse 10. And he called the multitude to himself, and he said, "Hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles the man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man." Then his disciples came and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?" But he answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into the ditch." Then Peter answered and said to him, "Explain this parable to us." And Jesus said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man." It's out of the heart. A revelation of the heart. Words reveal who you are, what you're thinking. Secondly, the natural man, every one of us in Adam, is a liar. It's a hard statement to make, isn't it? All human beings in Adam are liars. Who said that? God did. God's evaluation. When we go back to the garden, we find the first lie. Now true, the first lie was not spoken by man, but it was believed by man. Now the serpent, verse 1, chapter 3, Genesis, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'" Is that what God said? You can't touch the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? I think she assumed it. There must be something wrong about the tree. Why would God keep that from us? But they were actually called to take care of the garden, including the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which meant you had to take care of it. You had to touch it. But then Satan boldly says, "Then the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. What did he do? He took the word of God. God says, you shall surely die, or literally in Hebrew, in dying you will die. And Satan said, you will not, in dying you will die. What did Satan do? He lied. And Jesus refers to him as the father of lies. But even Eve at this point is flirting with the truth, whether it be innocently or purposefully, I'll let you decide. So when the woman saw the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And so the lie started in the garden. And as Jesus says, as recorded in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, the Satan is the father of lies. Verse 44 of chapter 8. Why do you not understand my speech? Jesus said, because you are not able to listen to my words. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. And so is everyone does in Adam. So the challenge, we do live in a post-truth society because mankind are liars. That's just reality. Now, it's not just misspeaking, although sometimes people are said to be misspeaking. It's a lie. This command has as primary focus the use of speaking in a court setting. We would use the term perjury. It is using a witness in a court of law that causes someone to die, to receive bodily harm of some sort, even death. So it is the most serious misuse, if you will, of the tongue, to use the tongue to cause others to suffer harm. That's the major focus, but there are other kinds of ways we can harm our brother. Reichen, in his book, mentions some of these. He writes, there are different ways to lie. The thesaurus offers an impressive list of synonyms. A falsehood can be described as an invention, an equivocation, a falsification, a fabrication, or a prevarication, falsehood. Dishonesty is also in its many and different sizes. There are big lies, the whoppers and the grand deceptions. There are all the little lies we tell, the half-truths, flatteries, the fibs. What we say may be true as far as it goes, but we leave out the details that might put us at a disadvantage. Or we may say something that is technically true, yet nevertheless intended to deceive. We overstate our accomplishments, putting ourselves in the best possible light. At the same time, we exaggerate other people's faults. Thinking and saying the worst about others, we mislead, misquote, and misinterpret. We twist people's words, taking things out of context. In these and many other ways, we exchange the truth for a lie. There's a couple more he mentions, slander, gossip. And I think the last one, gossip, is probably one of the greatest dangers in the church. I've got this prayer request that I want to tell you about so-and-so. Have you ever had that happen to you, or have you ever been tempted to say something that was private information that has been given to you, and you want to share it with somebody else so badly that you put it in the context of prayer request? Paul writes to the Galatians, and he speaks about discord and dissensions. Acts or slander or malice. There's many, many ways that we can look at the misuse of the tongue, isn't it? What did I say earlier? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So what's the solution? What's a solution to lying? Second point, God's word is pure and sure. The Gospel of John, we're going to be looking at a few verses there. How does the writer to the Gospel of John begin the Gospel? What does he talk about? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And what did God do in the beginning? He created all things by the word of his power. What's interesting is that a little bit later, John will say, a word became flesh and dwelt among us, or tabernacled among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. Jesus is the word of God. Is Jesus pure? Is Jesus sure? Is Jesus the foundation of our faith? The answer is yes, yes, and yes. Secondly, Jesus Christ is full of grace and truth. I just do that. Thirdly, Jesus Christ is the truth. Where did he say? He spoke to his disciples just before his death in John chapter 14. He said to them, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Later, when he was on trial before Pilate, Jesus said to Pilate, basically, I am the truth. What's interesting about it is he asked the philosophical question, what is truth? What's interesting is in the Greek word could be what or who. In one sense, he's really asking, who is the truth? And he was looking right at him. Jesus is the truth of God. He is pure and he is sure. Jesus, before he again was tried and convicted as a criminal, though he spoke the truth, lived the truth, had no sin, yet he was condemned. How many times did Pilate say that Jesus is innocent? How many times? 4 times. Pilate spoke the truth 4 times and then killed him. Isn't that crazy? He's innocent, he's innocent, he's innocent, he's innocent, but I'm going to put him to death anyways. Just before Jesus was crucified, in speaking to his disciples, to us, he said that he will send us the Spirit of truth. We have the Spirit of truth given to us. Actually, those 3 times, the first time he says, the Father will send the Spirit of truth. The second time he said, I will send the Spirit of truth. And the third time he says, when the Spirit of truth comes, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Isn't that interesting? Jesus is the truth. He sends the Spirit who enables us to see the truth. He enables us to not believe a lie. Do you understand that? To be identified with the truth, with Jesus. And then finally, Jesus Christ gives us the word of truth. Gives us himself and gives us an objective truth, the word of God. James writes in James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all his creatures. He gives us the truth. He begets us. He brings us to life through the truth. He sanctifies us by truth. He enables us to speak the truth because we speak of Jesus. We have solid, objective truth. And one of the most fascinating, and we actually have this right on our website. We quote from various passages of Scripture, but the Scripture that we use here at Grace Reformed Church is John 17:17. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. We have an objective, solid standard of thinking and living we have the truth. One of the most amazing passages in the Bible, at least to me, I don't know about you, there's many amazing passages, but one that struck me, I remember the first time I read that and it just kind of shook me a bit, is Psalm 138, verse 2. I'll begin in verse 1. I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praises to you. I will worship towards your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. Now, what's so shocking about that? You have magnified your word above who you are and what you do. Do you understand how amazing that statement is? God takes the truth, His Word, and He exalts the Word even above Himself, who He is and what He does. And He's given that to us. Do we take it for granted? Do we ignore it to our own hurt? God exalts His truth, His Word, above His very name. It is through the gospel, through God's truth, that He brings us to life. It is through the gospel, through His word, that He guides us in life. It is through the gospel that we have freedom. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And so we do have the ability to not be like those in Adam, liars. But our identity is what? The truth. Jesus. For His pure and sure word. So what is He calling us to do? Well, speaking the truth requires humility and love. Speaking the truth in love. But it requires humility. What does that mean? In my members, the natural man, the flesh, I am tempted to lie to get out of trouble. Or I'm tempted to lie to get what I want. Manipulate. So what do I need to do is I need to realize that I am fallible. What's the shortest prayer in the Bible? Help, Lord. Lord, I'm aware that when the temptation comes to lie, I need your grace. You are the truth. I need to be able to speak the truth, whatever the cost. That's called integrity. Right? I need to speak the truth in love. And so to do that, Lord, I need a teachable spirit. I need to know what the truth is so that I can speak it and so that I can live it. I need to grow in my knowledge of the truth. I need help from you. And I need help from others. We do teach and admonish one another, encourage one another by our lives, by our words. And here's a part of humility. I need to hold my opinion, my understanding, my thinking with an open hand. We have a tendency to hold on to what, I know this is true. No. I'm right, you're wrong, and that settles it. No, we need to be able to say, no, I don't have everything. I could be wrong here. Ooh, I was wrong. Those are hard words to say, isn't it? When was the last time you said it to someone? I've never said that. No, yeah, well. I was wrong in my thinking. I was wrong in my opinion. I was wrong in my understanding. There are so many ways that we can be wrong. I'm going to just leave that one right there. Speaking the truth in love. Love for what? Speaking the truth in love. Love for what? Love for the truth. Someone's listening. Thank you. Love for the truth. I speak the truth because I love the truth. If you want to read a psalm of love for the truth, read Psalm 119. 176 verses where the psalmist is describing his love for the Word of God, for the truth. Oh, so many ways. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation day and night. I mutter it all day and all night. I love you, Lord, and I love your word, and I meditate in it. But also, I love others, and I love for them to know the truth, to live the truth. How do I do so? First of all, by living it myself, so that others would see Jesus in me, the truth. As I live the truth, others see the glory of God revealed because they see Jesus living through me. Secondly, I must decrease, John the Baptist said. But what? He must increase. One of the ways that Christ increases is as we increase in knowledge of the truth. Do you read your Bibles? Is this your daily bread? Do you seek Him? Do you say, Lord, I still remember when I was a little child, I remember waking up in the morning, thank you, Lord, for the day. What are we going to learn today? Is that your prayer? Do you pray that at all? Lord, teach me. What are we going to learn today? What are you going to teach me today? Why am I here on earth today? What are you going to teach through me or to me? So, in conclusion, talking about those in Adam, I'm reminded of a certain Shakespeare play that reveals a philosophy of life. You've probably heard this quote before. It's from Macbeth. Life is but a walking shadow, a poor player that struts and frets his hour on the stage, and then is heard no more. It is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. Interesting way to look at life in Adam. It is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. Is that the life in Christ? The answer is no. John 1:4. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And so in summary, Jesus, in the midst of His disciples, as He was preparing them for His imminent death on the cross the next day, comforts them by this exclusive claim to be the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through Him. He calls them and us to place our entire trust in Him for eternal life and live our lives in conformity to His revealed will, His Word, which is the truth. Who do you say that He is? Is He the truth? Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for revealing to us the truth in Jesus, the truth through Your Word, the truth through other believers in our lives. They've lived the truth and we've seen it. We thank You, Lord, for the Spirit of truth that is sent to us. We pray that You would enable us to be and speak the truth in love, to be contrary to a lie. Forgive us, O Lord, for the times that we have deceived ourselves, we've lied to ourselves, or we've lied to others. We know that this comes from the Father of lies. We pray that You would enable us to walk in the truth, for the truth is found in You. We ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.